June 20th, 1978, outside the home of Joe Bedis in Hughes, speaking to Joe Bedis.
Yeah. So you can take my family's picture with grandchild. And
yeah.
Yeah, when they get all together.
Yeah.
It'll be, you'll be here another 4 or 5 days anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And this is my grandchild, one of Alka. That's Alfred.
Look at him, he walks sideways.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, all this.
It's the place where you make your snowshoes.
Yeah.
Maybe you could tell us how you found that birch, or where you got your birch to make your
snowshoes. Out there. I just look, every time when I go out hunting, I look for birch, right kind of birch. Just like you're looking for snow food. And I go across and I look at the sticks where I used to have wood yard years ago. And them young birches were getting bigger every year, you know. Well, this birch was just pretty small when I had the wood yard over there. Now they grew up and then turned to be good wood. And I see it when I hold them good. I let them grow up. And they got big enough that I can make 2 pair out of every one. But this one birch, I spoil it because there's some limbs on it. It don't look too good to me. I never even tried yet. I just chop it down, the shape. Then I can ready to plane it down.
What do you look for? How do you know it's going to be a good birch?
Just by looking at it. I look at birch all my life, all different kind of birch. But I never make birch bark canoe like you yet.
Maybe we'll have to make one one.
Yeah, yeah. You show me.
Maybe next spring we can come up make
one. Yeah, yeah. If I got time, this is the only time I got time to do anything myself. The rest of the time when summer season comes, then I might try to get a job. But then by fall, it's going to be hunting season open. Not too long after that, it'll be trapping season open. So this, right now, I got time to do things like that.
How much time do you have now? I mean, when did you finish the last thing you were doing?
You mean right now?
Yeah, after you finished what, beaver trapping?
Oh, I was visiting around, lose a lot of time that way. You know, travel around. Yeah, just like this last week, we was down to Tanana. Before that, we have to go down to Galena and buy some groceries. See our friends. Before that, we have to go down to the funeral this spring. So I do a lot of travel around. After breakup, I was ratting for a while down river, just with the ice, you know. Some more ice on the river, we go down with the kicker boat. Sam was down to spring out, you know. That's where he's going to get his snow goo. His snow goo is still down there, spring camp.
How's he going to bring the snow goo down?
By boat. Load him up in a boat and haul it up by boat. Kick him out.
So, you were hunting rats a little while, huh?
Yeah. We got a few rats, not too many. It was cold spring. So we didn't do too good. And not much water on the lakes because it wasn't much snow this winter. And the creeks was so low. I fixed my canoe in shape, you know, before to go down. During the breakup, I fixed it up.
So then right after breakup, you go down?
Yeah. Haul the canoe down to the Bukeker boat, 3-4 of us. Took 2 boats, 5 of us. The boys make canoe to Alfred and Eddie. I make personal shoes for Eddie because he trapped with me. He's my daughter's boyfriend. And now they're going to get married. They stay together, they got to do their own house down there. Back the road, they got a new house, what they built last year. Yeah, last fall, I went this last fall moose hunting. Moose season was open up Indian. I go down about 15 miles and go up. One of my old man's boys was with me. Never kill a moose, so I took him down. I want to show him how, because he bought a new rifle and his dad died. My niece, you know. And I want them to take him out before moose season closed. That's when I got to find these birds. The one I bent to them two pair.
Oh.
Out of one birds. Last fall. During the moose hunting. We go back in the woods and check for moose, you know, back in the lake. And so we go to Portage and there's a spruce, I mean a birch tree about that big around. This is the bottom one here. Yeah, and I know it. I don't have to check it. By looking at it, I know it's good birch. So I tell him, go down and get sweet saw and axe. And we saw him off with sweet saw. Small sweet saw we had. The axe.
How would you check it if you wanted to check it?
Oh, just one side, just a little bit. You can take the bark off and put a corner of your axe in it and try to split them. See how far it can tear off, you know, when it's good wood. But I don't have to do it because I used to do it. And I don't know much about the birch wood. But now I could tell by looking at it, that's all. You don't have to spoil the wood because if I make an axe mark there, I'll cut some green off. And I'll just going to use waste the wood. I wouldn't make two pair out of it then. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you get your rock paint?
From my old man, the old people. They look for it under some kind of bluff, you know. I didn't find there's lots of red rock. And then during the summer when they in the fish camp, they used them salmon blood. They put them in there. They burn it little with it too. And they make rock paint it and never wore out. Like regular paint. I could use red paint too, but it's too heavy.
So you still use that same one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, out of little rock, you know. It'll last a long time. It'll last a long time.
You see, Mom? No. Kathy.
Some people, they use varnish now. Because they got no rock paint. But I like to keep up with my old style, you know, how my old people used to do. Then, when we make rummage this spring, and then we put them in blood, just so it's red color. That's the way the old people used to do too. Before you stretch it, while it's raw, after you cut them. And you dry them, it's a red color. Looks good, you know.
How about that pair of snowshoes that you started working on today?
Yeah.
Shaping a little bit?
Yeah.
What have you done on that so far? What are you going to
do? I just do some axe work on it. I chop them down just right shape so I can use plane on it. And then use small plane after that. And then I have to bend it. Put them between them slots there. Just bend it to every shape the way I'm going to do it.
Oh, you got a place on the side of your house? Yeah,
there's any place around there. Last year, I used between this. My wood pile, last year, I put them between there, and I just bend it around like this. Like that, before I bend it. And then, just when I'm ready to, I tie it together, like on the back to back, just like that. And then just before I paint it, I put a little warm water in there with rag. Keep doing that. Put short one, bend it a little ways first. Next time, wait for a while, bend it a little bit. You soak it at the same time with water. If it's cranky, 1 hour to boil it. But I know I'm not going to split, so I took a chance with it. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, all you need is right kind of birch. Yeah. Right kind of wood. You gotta have right kind of wood. Otherwise you're just gonna work for nothing. Yeah.
Where do you have that wood now? That birch?
You mean where I get it?
Where do you put it?
I put it in the water. Back there in the ditch. Keep it green so it don't dry up.
And what you gonna
keep reading my mind. You know they wanna go back there and look at that bridge in the water.
Oh yeah. I could leave it down there in the river, but I always tie them up. But sometimes it's too many boats there. While I sleep, then waves, you know, people traveling back and forth and might float away, just like last year. I bent three pair and then one more to bend. And then I get picked up with firefighting. I have to fight fire. And I've been out 11 days. By that time, it was on the bar and dry up. One float away and I find it way down on the bar. And when I come back, I don't know, that wood is too good. It dry up already. But I'll try it anyway, I tell my wife. And then I soak it, put rocks on top and put them way down, a couple of lights. And then I bend it around the cabin, around this. Pretty soon it's just soft. Leave them in the water, but it was dried up for 11 days while I was gone. And this last fall, after I bent it, it's easier. I thought I'd lose that one good birch, you know, enough for one pair. But that's the best pair I make. Been dry up one time and then I soak it again. And how I know is my father-in-law, they fly him down, stay with us, Jimmy Kaikuk up there. He used to make lots of snowshoes too. So I asked him, I says, look at these birds. I says, I bent this. It was dry down there for a long time while I was firefighting. And then I soak it and I bent it. And it's easier bending them new, fresh birds. Oh, he says, that's the best way. I used to try that lots of times. It worked better. It never cracked. It's pretty heavy. Pretty heavy. Where I'm going to bend it. A lot of people just cut them down small. That's the only way it don't break. He says, that's all right. You make good pair. He look at it, he can see, he can feel. He says, that other pair, whoa, it's pretty heavy. I says, that's for young boys. They always break things, you know. You know how it is when you're young. I tell him, he says, yeah. Yeah. And I show him my light pair of snowshoes. He said, that's good for you. Even you're heavy, you know how to take care of your stuff. He know. He went through lots of things, them old people. So he tell me story. He tell me the native name about them old people too. I don't know that. My mother used to name them in their native name long ago, but I forgot all about it. All these old pictures, they're around here. Dummy, he's in there. That was his first cousin. And he said, my wife, she make biscuit. And we always eat bread and crackers, you know. And we cook that fresh biscuit, lots of lard in it. And pretty soon he started to eat that. He said, ooh, that old lady, he used to, when I was a little boy, he used to feed me this kind, he said. I asked him, who's that? Oh, he said, Walter Nealon Pan. I don't know who he mean. I don't know what they need. He says, who's that? He said, Tommy. Tommy's mother. When I was a little boy, he used to feed me that kind. He said, oh, I tell him, that's Tommy's name? He said, yeah, that's his native name. They never used to call him like that when he was living. They call him Tommy all the time, he said. He said to call him Rotunilin. That's his really name, native name. His old man named him like that when he was small, he said. No, Tommy, he's in this picture. So I learned a lot of things from him, that old man. I like him, but he don't like down here. He wants to stay up where his home is, you know. Yeah. Me? Yeah.
What is that?
Oh, that old Maggie there, my grandma. When I was a little boy, oh, maybe 2-3 years old, he named me native name. He gave me native name. That was somebody's name in the old timers. They named me after. That's Don Dalby. That's where my mother come from. My old grandpa or somebody. I never see the guy, but she gave me name after my little people.
Did you say what that
means? Yeah. Okawatsuna. That's my name.
Do you know what that means?
Well, that means when people used to, when they hunt, bow and arrow and the rifle is the, and they're hunting, you know. And that means they name me after arrow or something. Yeah. Uh-huh. And you kill something, just like that.
When you kill something,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Or gun, anything, just like that. I can't pronounce that good, but that's what my mother used to tell me. Yeah, right, right, you're right. Yeah. But they name me after that. Like if you shoot good, you know. Something like that. They name me after that. Uh-huh. I guess so.
Well, you're a good hunter and want to help out.
Oh, yeah. Once in a while, not all the time, you know. Yeah.
Do you give your kids native names?
No. I never even try. Some people do.
Yeah.
Some people do. I could, if somebody asked me, I could try. A native name, but lots of these kids got native name. This, my youngest sister, Lorraine, she got native name. When my mother started to die, and Johnny Ullman, Celia's uncle, Jimmy Kaikuk's younger brother, he used to be good talker and smart too. And tall. Just before my mother died, she was sick. She come over, they come over to visit us. And Celia had this young, last girl, you know, that time. You know, my mother was dying then. She was sick. So Johnny Ullman asked her, you got grandchild right here, girl. You tell mama. And my mother said, how are we going to give him name? You're not feeling good now. Maybe something going to happen to you. So we're going to name her after you. He said, okay. My mother said, okay. When she was living, she made good clothes out of fur. She was good sewn. And then she used to fishing lots of too. She used to work good. And all the her people used to like her, you know. because she was a nice person. She talked good with everybody, you know. Like she tell me, Mike, you know, lots of times while I grew up, they say, you can, I was young them days. Every place you go to other village, you talk with the people good, and they'll treat you good. What was right, I learned that. So I got lots of friends all over, every villages, even young people. They tell me, hello, hello, my friend. I know what they, because I talk good with them when they tell me hello. They give me their name, I make fun with them. They like that. So that's what my people tell me, my old folks. So every time when I go down Nulato, lots of people now meet under Galena, Tanana, even over Kobuk. I can't talk in their language. My mother used to talk Eskimo language. She understand too. But me, I just few words, that's all. If I grew all the way up with the Eskimo, these kids here, like Lucy and Sam and Frank Sam, I would understand Eskimo language, you know. But they moved me away to down here. That's why I didn't learn that. Because how I know is Henry William, you know him. He can understand Eskimo language pretty good. He can talk few words, you know. Because he learned that. He grew up all the way up with them up there. And when they trap together, hunting together, they teach each other their own language, just like them, Jimmy Edward and them up there, Oscar. They can understand our language, you know. Because we're all mixed up there. But me, I was 15 years old when they took me out. That's why I don't learn nothing. So it's, but all I learn is from my old people, mostly. I listen to them when they tell story. Then there were lots of times I want to know, I ask them to, before they all die off. And they tell me, why is this? All that.
Who did you listen to the most, do you remember?
No, Johnny Oldman. Mm-hmm. He used to tell story every night. Then he picked this up from all of his old people that he used to hunt on in his days. And then he learned a lot of things, just like more important is I could tell you this man here, who he got that from. It's my uncle, right here. I'll tell you. See. I'm surprised it's close to the old man here. I can't see it.
There's other pictures in here too.
That's his wife right here. That's Kitty. Oh, right here. That's Johnny Oldman. That Jimmy Kaikuk is right here. That's the man who's still living. Uh-huh. That's his younger brother, is Johnny. But he used to make speech and he used to be a good talker too, smart. And he told me about this man here. That's my uncle. That's Leon's younger brother, Ulnet. His son is living up there. Well, when we were out hunting in the lunchtime, around 12 o'clock, we were out hunting. And it was cold, windy. And he said, it's about time to make tea. We were hunting moose or caribou or something, you know. Well, he says, I'll show you boys how to build a fire, Ulnat style. So he had hatchet. And then he had 60 blue mitts, moose skin mitts. I'll show you how to do it so you boys can use it in your days. That's Ulnat style. So I'm going to show it to you boys, he tells us. We're all young guys, about 5-6 of us, you know. So I watch him. He got wood like that. We bring some wood, pole like that, cut him up and give to him. He split him, And then he had these 60 blue mitts, and he got this hatchet like this. And he started to make shavings with it. A lot of people, they use hunting knife, and they got to take their gloves off and start to make shavings to build a fire with. No gas, nothing to build a fire. No birch bark. Birch bark is no good anyway when it's cold weather. So my father told me to split them wood that the inside is dry, cool weather. So he said, I'll show you boys how. So he started to make shavings with axe. Just, I'll show you how this looks like. And anyway, we were hunting. And that was, I used that pretty good all this time. You know, when it's really cold weather, after you take your 60 blue mitts out before you build a fire, you hang on to get cold, you know. So he do like this. Just make shavings. This is kind of bamboo, you know. Just like that. Just like that. Just like that. And he would pick up that shavings, and only time he take his 60 blue mitts off is when he's ready to light his matches, reach his matches in his pocket. Huh. So that was a handy thing. Lots of times when I travel with dogs, or when it's cold, I use that. I learned that from him. That's an awfully important thing. I told my boys this winter when we go out trapping in lunchtime, in the campfire, so they'll know it. No, till last minute when they're going to reach their matches.
You tell them about the time you learned that?
Yeah, I told them. Every night I tell stories, because that's my own voice, you know. They gotta learn that anyway. Yeah.
You go have a look at that bridge? Walk back to the ditch.
On top, inside, in the water. But this will be low, getting low tomorrow. I know it, because it never rained.
Where does this water come from?
From over here, from up here. Down on the river. I could keep it down there, but I don't want to lose it.
So how about you stand over here like this and point it out, and I can get on that side.
Okay.
I'll trade sides with you.
Yeah.
What birch is the best one down there?
Huh?
Which one is the best one down there again?
On that side one. This is kind of limbs on it. This two here, I never even tried yet.
You're going to split those big ones?
Bombay. Whenever I'm ready for it.
You say Bombay.
Yeah.
We say that in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That means after a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing?
Yeah.
People say, when you come in my house, oh, Bombay?
Bombay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I never heard that any other place, but here,
oh, yeah?
Just now.
Oh,
you.
That's, old timers use it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where they get it from.
Me but too.
When they say Bombay, that means after white. That's right?
Yeah? We even have a song about Bombay.
Yeah.
Called Bombay.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to learn me how to dance Hawaii.
Yeah.
If you're going to dance hula, you better watch out, though.
I'm going to try if you show me how to dance.
If you dance a hula, you watch out, though, because all the women jump on.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where I get that word, but I remember my old man used to say that when he said, "I'm half the white." Yeah.
Well, that's why I have to look, because that's the first time I heard it since I left home.
I thought
only they say that in Hawaii.
Before our days,
maybe Hawaii people got it from here.
Yeah, maybe.
It's pretty good. I have to write home in time.
Yeah.
Well, that's when we're going to be done with this book too. Come by.
From Hawaii. I learned that from my old man, and he said, after a while. I never heard that white people say that, but that's where I learned from. I use the word. I know what it means. After a while. That's the way you people use it too.
Yeah, the song goes, bye-bye,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to tell us who all your kids are and when they were born and what year? Starting from the first one?
Yeah. Okay, I got my wallet in there, and I got the all my kids, what year they born and all that.
Oh,
in case when I work for wages, they ask me how many dependents I got when I start to work. So I can read and write. And I let my wife read it down, and I took it.
Oh, really?
And when I started work for wages, you know, well, the foreman asked me, "We got to put your dependents down, where my wife is," and then the day I started work and all that. So I got that. I can show it to you.
Yeah. Well, you get it right inside.
Yeah, it's just pencil write.
Okay.
I just write it on the paper, you know.
Oh, okay. Maybe
you want me to bring them out here?
Yeah.
I'll go get them then. Maybe. Always take it long. Because, when I started work for different outfit, they always want to know what year that my kids born and all that. And they're under 18 years old, they're my dependents, you know, in case something happened to me on the job. So that's my trapping license, my hunting license. When you're over 60 years old, you don't have to pay license anymore.
Oh.
They just give you this card from Juno.
And that lasts every day?
Yeah, that'll last the rest of your life. See, I find some money too. Yeah.
How do you spell your name? Beatus?
Joe Beatus, yeah. B-E-E-T-U-S. Is that right?
Yeah.
Let me see.
Yeah, it says B-E-E.
I got this from Juno. I never look at it. It's good. Yeah, B-E-E-T-U-S.
Yeah.
Oh. My full name is Joseph. But they put Joe in there. That's the way they get my social security anyway. I started to pay social security ever since 1937. Then I'm 62 now.
Is that your birthday, March?
No, that's when I bought the license. I mean, they make that card for me. In December, 23, just a couple of days before Christmas in 1915. That's my birthday. Long time ago, huh?
Yeah. Christmas present for your mom.
Yeah. I got one daughter, it's day before Christmas, Dorothy. It's close to my birthday. Sammy is 26, I guess. I could tell you on this. Here, there's some of it. That's from June down, yeah. Oh, the rest of it is Dorothy is next older. This is June here. Dorothy is, and then Jimmy, and then Helen, and then Alberta. We lost one boy.
So Alberta was the first one.
Yeah, Alberta. She's going to come a couple of days. She's married then. Huslia. This is June here. That's her birthday.
Oh, June was born June.
Yeah, she's June 1st. Mm-hmm. That's the one is married out in Arizona. We'll come pretty soon.
Oh, they're coming?
They're in Anchorage right now. They come to Alaska already.
Okay, so June was born in June 1950.
Yeah.
And then Lorraine. In 1954. Oh, her birthday's day before mine.
Oh.
April 14th?
17th. Bobby John is 1955.
July 21.
July 21. Samuel Clifford is December 24th, 1957.
Wilmer Jones is December 6th. 1960.
That's the youngest boy.
Uh-huh. And Joe Jr.? Oh, no, that's Joe. That's you. December 23rd, 1915.
December 19th, uh-huh. And 23.
And then, uh-huh. And Celia, your wife, is September 5th, 1922.
Uh-huh.
And Dorothy, December 26th. 1948. Oh, hers is day after Christmas.
Yeah, that's the one, Dorothy, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh.
That's first before June. But Helen and Jimmy is living back here. And before Jimmy, we lost one boy. Some kind of sickness. We didn't take it to hospital right in time. So we lost that boy. All 10 of them is living.
What year was Alberta born?
1940, a couple of years after we got married. And Helen is around 42 or something. And then Jimmy. And then Dorothy.
So how many kids does that make all together?
10 living. Well, we lost one boy, yeah.
What about grandchildren?
Grandchildren?
Yeah. How many grandchildren does Alberta have?
Five. And then the next one? Five.
Helen got five. And then Jimmy? Jimmy got three. And then June?
June got one.
And then the next one is Lorraine.
Lorraine, yeah. She got one.
And any of the others have?
Dorothy got, that's the one we keep. She got three altogether. Yeah, Cisco is one. It was small, it was a good place.
Do you have any great grandchildren yet?
No,
not yet.
Not yet. Yeah.
So, how many grandchildren is that altogether?
Let's say that's 10. About 15 or 16. See, Alberta got five, Helen got five, then Jimmy got Dolly is Jimmy's wife. That's Edwin Simon's daughter, first daughter, I guess. I'm not sure. Franklin, you know Franklin Simon? Yeah. She's next to Franklin. Oh, no.
Amelia's first.
Amelia is next to, and then Dolly. Dolly is. Oh, she had one baby when she was single. So Jimmy got two of his own, two girls. And Dorothy got three. And then Lorraine got one. June got one. Peggy. We got Peggy too. But it was adopted. You know, we gave him to Simon, Lee Simon. She lived up Fairbanks. Her husband is working in the pipeline. She's married to a white guy. She got two boys. She'll be in here too for potlatch. That's when you can make the pictures. Okay. So we stayed with her last winter, you know. Lee Simon and Shara raised her. She was little girl, and so they got no kids. They want one girl. They got boys though, Simon and Piggy. Yeah. She'll come for potlatch maybe. Maybe June might come too for her husband find job around Anchorage. They come to Alaska already from Arizona. That's where that man come from. You know, they met each other around the school. And that's how she get married. She got friend from out there, you know, Arizona, outside England. That's where Ron come from.
What school is it?
It's around Sitka, Mount Edgecombe, someplace. Yeah. After they finish 8th grade around there, the most of them go to. Now they go to Wilmer was. Let's see, what he was 2 winters in Huslia. Last winter he was down Tanana, stay with somebody else. High school. 1 more year. Because she had been spent 1 more year down Tanana. And he'll finish. Lots of them want to go for training too, you know. Training, some kind of job. Which is good for them. I want my boys. One of Henry's boys got job now. He's been training all winter. He asked for some kind of job, what he want, and he go to school for that. Training outside some, and run Anchorage someplace. Now this spring they call him for a job. So he got it made. What them boys need. That's why I can send them after. I learned them how to trap first. They got a little job during the summer around here in firefighting. Because you can't tell when our days should come. If something happened to me, they got nobody to learn from. So while I'm living, that's why I took them out camp.
They wanted to go with you?
Yeah, they wanted to go with me too.
You like having your kids come with you?
Yeah, because I want to learn them how I make my living. They got to have it anyway. All their days, they're just beginning. You know, they're young, they got about, if they treat themselves good, they got about 70, 60 years old, 60 years ahead to go. And they have to make a living. They got to learn that.
Did he used to be gone a lot of the time when your kids were growing up?
Huh?
Did he used to be out working or
me?
Shopping when your kids were growing up?
Yeah, that's when I do most of the work. During the summer, when I've been spending down Manly for 4 seasons, and I had no week off during the summer. I can't afford to, because I got big family. You know, I stay with my job till the season is over. Long as there's nothing wrong with my family, I stay that long.
What did Celia have to do while you were
gone? She was fishing. Feed them kids. I sent her money whenever it's payday. Sent her a check. Keep on working till I finish the season. That's one thing. I never get fired yet. Even I don't go to. I see a lot of my people get fired with me. But not me yet. Because I can get along with any kind of man. A lot of them boss, you know, the foreman, they can swear to you and anything, but you have to take that. I found out from my father. See, he used to work for, in a steamboat. You see, that first mate is cranky one. You might think that they tell you the wrong thing, but you can take it as long as they don't bother you. Just do your work. When they get over the argument, they can talk to you pretty good. It's like talking with another person. So I never say nothing. I just go to work. Whenever they start to be cranky to the other boys, you know. But they're just doing my work. And they don't bother me. But then I work for them about 7-10 years. Then I know that what kind of man they are. And they start to give me too much order in the morning. For my wages, I talk to them. They want me to do two, three days' work in the morning when they start to give me order. But when I find out what kind of man they are, then I don't have to do it. Just do so much a day.
You give them a big chance to find out, don't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got to get smart to them, too. Yeah. I know they wouldn't fire me.
A lot of your people get fired.
Oh, yeah.
How come? Why do they usually get fired?
Oh, well, some of them, they don't do their work good. They don't take care of their work good. Some on account of drinking, you know.
Sometimes they have good reasons, too, but they don't say.
Yeah. You mean?
Sometimes if the guy maybe is worried about his kids or something, or... Sometimes somebody they know got hurt or something like that, and they want to leave, but they don't tell anybody that.
You mean when they just go?
Maybe they'll go for one day and they'll stay 3 days or something like that and come back.
Yeah.
And maybe they have a real good reason, but they won't tell them.
Yeah, I guess so. Not in my business, so I don't pay much attention. I just do my work. When I want to go, I let them know. Before time, you know, so somebody can take my place while I'm out a week off to visit my family. I do that when I work in, because it's little ways in Hawk River, but not down Manly. It costs me quite a bit to make round trip, to go up by Fairbanks and come over here. Spend 1 week, I'll lose 1 week wages and then I'll be that much behind. That's why I stay all summer.
Do you think that wages are always equal? Were they always fair wages, like even before statehood?
No, they never used to pay enough, you know, a lot of them. Some of them do all right. But I got to think ahead how we're going to make a living. Even cheap wages, I couldn't find a better job. I got to stay with the job, even if it's cheap. Because I think year ahead how we're going to feed my family and all that. I even know what to do next winter. I already got it figured out last winter while I traveled, when I was traveling around there. The boys, if I'm okay.
You figure out the next places you'll go and what
you'll do? Yeah, I got to make a new trail before something happens to me, because there's that place overflow all winter. And I don't want to use that trail. If something happened to me, them young boys, they might get in trouble. Snow goes, sometimes it's that deep water through the canyon. There's 11 crossing up here, little ways, about 5-6 miles, through that hill stair. It's too steep for snow go on both ways, but up that way, I guess I can make trail in the fall with chainsaw. I got lots of help anyway.
You think a lot about your kids ahead of time?
Yeah, ahead of time. Because they're my own kids. Nobody ain't going to teach them if something happened to me. I have to do it, and this is my chance while I'm living.
Do you think the same way? She think ahead and plan out what she's
got to
do?
You mean the boys?
The
senior,
your wife?
Oh, I guess so. She never talk much. Oh, yeah, well, she teach the girls, I guess, in the home. Mm-hmm. But I teach the boys myself.
A lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what most people do?
I guess so. That's the way my old-timer used to do, anyway. That's the way I think, anyway.